I'm Mary Clark, and this is Mary Clark Traveler. Today, I'm taking you to the American South for the first segment of a three-part series on a road trip through the South where we explored the three C's: Civil War, Civil Rights, and Southern Charm.
In Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
I am conflicted visiting Civil War sites. Had I lived them, I hope I would not have owned slaves and would have voted against secession. Yet part of my heritage is with the Confederacy. My grandmother spoke with venom about the deadly prison where her Confederate soldier father endured part of the war. Until her death, she still used the word Yankees for Northerners as her eyes hardened. But a trip through the South requires at least some stops at battlegrounds to give perspective on the terrain, battle tactics, and suffering of the soldiers. We started with the Battle of Vicksburg in Mississippi. The town lies on a bluff overlooking the Mississippi River, immediately giving the Confederates a tenfold advantage to control the nation's biggest river. The major east-west railroad passed through town, bringing to the South badly needed Arkansas hogs, Texas horses, and Mexican and European imports. Northern General Ulysses Grant had won 10 of his last 12 battles and knew he could cut off the legs of Dixieland by winning Vicksburg. General John Pemberton realized a loss at Vicksburg would be the beginning of the end for the Southern cause. The battle began on May 18, 1863, and ended July 2nd, with a complete surrender by the Confederate Army. At the large Vicksburg National Military Park, roads wander through hill and dale with markers indicating shifting battle lines. In 1863, trees would have been leveled to provide open views for snipers. Today, only part is cleared. We used Michael Logue, a local guide who provided commentary as he drove our car through the grounds. Distances between lines were surprisingly small, indicative of the distance a rifle could shoot successfully. We learned the difference in a redoubt, or square fort, and a redam, triangle fort, both French words from the language used in army manuals. Local quartz dust soil provided perfect dry conditions for digging trenches, a tactic to be used soon in World War I. When the battle stalled outside Vicksburg's fort, Pemberton moved his men inside the city walls to weather the coming 47-day disastrous siege. Some experts, including our guide, considered this battle more important than Gettysburg because of its commercial significance. Vicksburg's park is unique in two other ways. On the grounds is the remains of the USS Cairo, one of seven ironclad gunboats built in 30 days by the Union to carry 13 cannons along the Mississippi. Inside, the boat was so hot, only immigrants could be talked into working there. It had a short life, sinking in 1862, but was resurrected in 1965 and displayed at the park in 1972. Also scattered throughout the park are 140 artistic monuments honoring every state that fought in the battle, as well as individual officers or groups who served. For years, a reunion of veterans from both sides was held here.
And we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
We probably would never have visited the Kennesaw Mountain National Battlefield Park if our son were not attending school in Georgia. It is one of the many lesser battles, and yet was a part of General Sherman's famous march to Atlanta in June 1864. Kennesaw Mountain was a large natural barrier protecting the approach to railroads in Atlanta. The Northern Army used maneuvering tactics to minimize an attack uphill and eventually reach the other side. It is hard today to visualize the battle since nature has filled the cleared spaces, but a drive takes you to the top of the mountain to see Atlanta in the near distance. The biggest surprise of the trip was the discovery in Kennesaw of the excellent Southern Museum of Civil War and Locomotive History, a member of the Smithsonian Affiliation Program. That is a big name for a small museum. But this one details the importance of railroads and manufacturing in the outcome of the Civil War. After seeing the displayed statistics, I realized the South had little chance to win. The North had 21,000 miles of railroad, the South, 1,000. The North produced 234,000 tons of rails, the South, 26,000. The North manufactured 2.5 million guns, the South, 250,000. Food was brought in regularly by rail to Union soldiers. Southern boys had to forage for nourishment. And most crucially, an entire construction corps of eventually 10,000 men under Herman Haupt developed construction techniques to more quickly rebuild Union railroads destroyed by the South and to prevent reconstruction by the Confederacy of their own railroads.
Ain't gonna study war no more.
Judging by exit signs on the interstate highways, many Civil War sites have been preserved. The American Battlefield Protection Program was established to classify the preservation status of battlegrounds. They had to choose which sites among 8,000 battles deserved protection and rate them according to importance. Add that to the 135 Civil War museums in the country, and one could use every vacation reliving our country's most painful time. Yet, we should all visit a few of the sites to understand how close and personal this war was. My conflict from 100 years later is nothing compared to those who had to fight on one side or the other. A choice we are fortunate not to have to make.
Mary Clark is a retired attorney and lifelong traveler who began writing about her journeys in 2008. If you'd like to see photos from Mary's trips, read blog entries, and more, visit MaryClarkTraveler.com.